Amen. Pastor did ask me if I had something ready. Of course, I had been working on something, and it completely did not. What I've been preparing is not what I'm preaching. I went back and forth on that message, this message, that message. I was preparing yesterday, and everything I prepared yesterday, I threw in the garbage. Because that was not what the Lord wanted me to preach.
Amen.
And there's nothing that... I could get up here and give you a good old song and dance, and it, like Pastor said, it sounds good, but if it ain't from the Lord, then it means nothing. Amen.
Right. Right.
So thank you, Pastor, for asking me to preach. If we can open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. So I got up early this morning and read a couple verses. This is one of the verses that I've been... looking at for a while now, this one and another one. But the Romans chapter 12, if we can stand for the reading of God's Word, that'd be great. Thank you. Romans chapter 12, the Word of God says in verse number 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Father, I thank you and praise you so much for today. I thank you so much for the preaching of thy word this morning. Lord, we just, we don't deserve to even have a copy of this word. And Lord, you just loved us so much. Lord, you were so willing to send your Son to die for us, to shed his precious blood. Jesus, thank you for dying for us.
Amen.
Thank you for defeating death. Thank you for rising 3 days and three nights later to give us that victory over sin and death.
Amen.
And, you're a good God to us. We thank you for this church and those that are here. We pray, dear God, that you'd fill us all with the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd help me. I pray that people would see you and not myself. Lord, help me to say what you want and keep me from saying what you don't want me to say. And Lord, we think of Randy Purdy tonight. Lord, that you be with him. And
Amen.
As he's in the hospital, please touch his body, touch his lungs, dear God. Cure him from pneumonia, Lord. Give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, Lord, we just pray that while he's in there, that he may be able to give somebody the gospel that needs to hear it. We pray for that. We also pray for those up in Alaska. Help them, dear God, to preach and to teach and keep them warm, Lord. And you're a good God to us. We thank you so much again, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Simple message tonight. Nothing too fancy. Nothing too long. The simple message. The title of the message is Don't Conform, Be Transformed. How do I get into this? We live in a rough world, do we not?
Yeah.
And so much of the world, especially upon our young people, is everything's grabbing them. Right? Everything wants to grab our young people, even us older people, to what? To conform into the image of this world, right?
Yeah.
And here the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's simply saying, I'm urging, I'm asking by prayer. I beseech you therefore, brethren. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm beseeching you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
To be conformed is to made to be, to resemble, to reduce to a likeness of, made agreeable to. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, don't be reduced to the world's ways.
Amen.
Don't be reduced Don't be made to resemble the world in its likeness.
Amen.
Don't be made into the into what the world philosophies are, what the world's ways are. Amen?
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed, changed in form or external appearance. The Greek word metamorpho or metamorphoso is simply as saying it's from a caterpillar to a, what does a caterpillar turn into? A butterfly. Right? Which one are you? You have caterpillar? What did I say? Did I mess something up?
Caterpillar.
Wait till you get out there and you see a caterpillar in the spring. That is a caterpillar right there. Polly taught me that word. Huh? Caterpillar. Man, oh man. But are you a caterpillar? Are you a caterpillar? I can't say that. I'm going to say caterpillar for the rest of the time. You know that, right? Or are you a butterfly? You're one or the other. You're either conforming to the world or you're allowing God to transform you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Which one are you going to do? Are you going to conform or transform? It's either the world or Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
You hear that are saved, you're either in the world or you're living for Jesus. You're living for the world or you're living for Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 6, nothing new, folks. But I believe we're living in the last days. We're living in some rough times, and I believe we're going to be living in some more trying times here in the near future, and we need to make a decision in our minds right now where we're going to stand. Are we going to stand for Christ or are we going to stand in the world?
Right. Come on, preach.
What did I say to go? Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24. No man can serve two masters.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and earthly treasures at the same time.
Amen.
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 You cannot do both.
That's right.
So are you in the world? Or are you living for God? But God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the what?
World.
World. So did God love the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. He loved the world. But who's in the world?
Yeah.
It's you and I.
Yeah,
that's who he really loved. He didn't love the philosophies and everything else that man tries to penetrate us into our hearts. Amen? That's why he had to send Jesus Christ to let us know his love.
Right.
But we live in this world. Where am I going? It's tough, is it not?
Yeah.
It can be. Let's go to Exodus. Go to Exodus. This world can be tough if we let it. If we look on the things that that can depress us or suppress us, can hold us down, we will get discouraged.
Amen.
Amen.
But in Exodus chapter 1, this is after Jacob's death and burial, after the Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph. And in verse 13, it says in Exodus chapter 1, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with what? Listen, they're gonna make it tough for them. Doesn't the world like to make it tough for us? Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard what?
Bondage.
In mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was rigor. Uri 15. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shephera, and the name of the other was Peu. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to a Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Verse 17, but the midwives what? Feared God.
Amen.
And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Verse 18, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? And have saved the men child alive. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women,
yeah,
for they are lively, and are delivered ere and the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives,
amen,
and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Look at the midwives here, and I'm only bringing this up because I just read this here a few days ago, and God said to use this too. Paul, he keeps raising his hand. But the point is, look at, the world is going to try to make things tough for us as Christians.
Right.
Especially if you're willing to stand out and take a stand against sin, against immorality, and speak out against sin. It's going to be rough for you. It's going to be rough for me. The world's going to try to make it rigor. But look at, God will bless as he did, as he told the midwives. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. Why? Because they were willing to do right no matter what.
Amen.
Right? So when the world is suppressing us, are we going to do right or are we going to do wrong?
Yeah.
Listen, young kids, I understand the pressure and what do you want to call it?
Family pressure.
What'd you say?
Temptations.
Temptations of other teenagers. I was a teenager once.
Amen.
It can be tough for us adults.
Yeah.
Listen, some of us work worldly jobs. I don't think all of us in here are in a full-time ministry somewhere.
Yeah.
But our ministry is it wherever we work.
Right.
That's the world.
Yep.
God called us to that place. Amen?
Yep.
So let's look at Genesis 46. Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46, starting in verse number 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I? And he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not, go down into what?
Egypt.
Which is a picture of the
world.
The world, right? And he says, I am God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Verse number 4. Let's read that together. I will go down with thee into where? Into Egypt. Listen, there's no way out of this world besides Jesus coming back to get us or we die. Amen? So therefore, why we're in this world, look, we can know for sure that God is going to be with us in this present world.
Amen.
We have nothing to fear, do we not?
Right.
I don't think we do. God did not give us the spirit of fear, did he? No, he did not. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. This world can be tough, and if we're not ready, Christians, guess what? You ever heard of saying it's going to eat you alive?
Yeah.
You're going to falter, you're going to fail. Stick to God. Stick
Amen.
To God. 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 15, all familiar verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. Now the Bible here is telling us in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Verse number 16, for all that is in the world, listen, the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? It's a controlling desire to do. Your flesh wants you to do something that you probably should not be doing. Therefore, the Bible is telling us, do not love those things, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. How many of us get into trouble sometimes when our flesh gets in the way?
Amen.
Often. It can often. Men, women. Our flesh. So often we want to do what we want to do instead of what God has called us to do. Or asking us to do. The lust of the eyes. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is a compulsive urge or compelling urge to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Our eyes look upon something and that's what we want. We want that so bad.
Yeah.
I had a blessing just before we came to church. I'm going to try not to cry. But Nathaniel was sitting on the couch, just got done reading his Bible, and I sat down in the chair, and he was talking about, what was he talking about? How in junior church or in Sunday school they were teaching about Lot, and that Lot should have prayed to God and asked him where to go.
Right.
And he looked at me and goes, Dad, that's what I need to do about this thing that he wants to buy. He saved up a lot of money to buy something and he goes, I think I need to ask God about that.
Amen.
Instead of just doing
Amen.
It. Instead of having the compelling compulsive urge to have something, because that's a lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, he wants that, he sees it, he wants it. How many of us have just went out and bought something without even asking God and later down the road say, well, maybe I shouldn't have bought that. It's caused nothing but heartache and pain, and guess what? It's causing me more money.
Yeah.
Preach it, brother.
You know what I'm saying? The lust of the eyes and compulsive urge or compelling urge to have. And then we also have in verse 16, and the pride of life.
Yeah, right.
The pride of life is consuming or competitive urge to be. The pride of life. Especially with our young kids, they have a urge or a competitive urge to be somebody.
Yeah.
Right? How many of us older people had maybe somebody they wanted to be or wanted to do something when they got older? Like, hey, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I wanted to do when I was younger? I wanted to be in the NFL. I did. I wanted to be in the NFL. I wanted to strap on a helmet and try to lay people out. That's what I wanted to do. That or I wanted to go to Division I wrestling. Why? Because I grew up in that, and that's what I idolized of men playing football and people wrestling. Right? That was the urge. I wanted to be like something. The pride of life, consuming or compelling an urge to be. Who do you want to be like tonight? You want to be like somebody?
Yeah.
You want to be like the world? Some of us do.
Preach it.
I'm only saying that because I love you.
That's right.
I'm only saying that because I don't want you to be in the world anymore.
Amen.
I want you to come out of the world.
Amen.
I want you to be transformed. Right? We got to go from that caterpillar to a butterfly.
Amen.
Amen. The world draws us to all these things. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself, what, unspotted from the world.
Yeah.
How many, do we have any worldly spots that God needs to come along with a bar of soap and say, listen, son, listen, daughter, we need to get you washed up. By the transforming of your what, the Bible says in the Romans chapter 12, of your mind. Your mind, because look at the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, right? It starts here, up here, and then it comes down to here. Some of us need to get to our some of those worldly spots washed up. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is enemy of what? Of God. Listen, living in this world is no joke, and I keep saying that because it's no joke.
Yeah.
Our minds need to be on Christ all the time.
Amen.
You ever get in a rut? I spoke with somebody not too long ago about this. You ever just, you're just in a rut.
Yeah.
You can't get out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can't turn right, can't turn left. Sometimes you need to put it in four-wheel drive and go. Sometimes that doesn't work. I was thinking about this. Sometimes y'all just four tires just sink in.
That's right.
So I know when I'm out four-wheeling, maybe we did this once or twice. You get out or get off that four-wheeler, and I got this thing on the front of my four-wheeler. It's called a winch. You get out and you draw that thing out.
Yeah.
And you hook it onto something solid.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Some of us maybe need to get out their winch and hook it up on a big old tree, a big old rock. His name is Jesus, and pull us out of that little rut.
Amen.
That rut that we've been trying so hard to go to the right, go to the left, and all we're doing, we're just spinning. We can't get out.
Amen.
But guess what? Us being men or women, we can get it. We're going to do it. We're going to get out of this. We're going nowhere. Until we get hooked up to Jesus.
Amen.
And then Jesus comes and says, come on. Pulls us out of that rut.
Amen.
Nice and slow. Come on. He's not getting us dirty by doing it. We got ourselves dirty from all that tire spinning.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
When you run a winch, you run it nice and slow.
Amen.
Man, he loves us, doesn't he?
Amen.
We try so hard to hang on to the things of this world. Why?
Yeah.
Why? They mean nothing.
Right.
Listen, we do work hard to purchase what we have, and it's called being a good steward of our money. But look at, we cannot take anything with us when we leave.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing.
That's right.
1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry what? Nothing out.
Amen.
As you came in, as you're going out, with nothing. With nothing.
That's right.
Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what?
The
faith. We're living in that world today. People are leaving the faith. They're departing from it. Christians are leaving.
Right.
And they're not coming back. COVID did its job.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Given heed to seducing spirits and all doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with hot iron. We need to be careful, folks, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Paul here uses transformed as something that needs to happen now. Not tomorrow, but now. Our minds need to be transformed now. Let's go back to Romans. Romans 12. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Christians are to undergo a complete change. Transformation is something we need to be allowed to be done to us, not something we do by our own power. This is something that can't be done by ourselves. You must first be in Christ. Amen? You must first be a child of God. And if you are a child of God, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, right, in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You must first be in Christ. If not, you can't have that transformation. You can't have the transformation of your mind. You're in the world. You are conforming to the world. 1 John 4:4. For the sake of time, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
God is greater than the world.
Amen.
I beseech you, Paul says, I beseech you, I pray with urgency. In Romans chapter 12, go back over there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what?
Mercy.
The mercies of God. Why? The motivation is right here. Why do we not want to be conformed to this world but be transformed right here? By the mercies of God.
Yeah.
Do we understand the mercies of God? The motivation for our bodies for a living sacrifice. As Jesus was a living sacrifice for us, we need to be the same. The motivation is from freedom from sin, Romans 6. Freedom from sin. Romans 6, starting in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then what? Being then made free from sin. He became the servants of righteousness.
Amen.
God's mercies. In Romans chapter 6, you're already there, verse number 23, we also have the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 5, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number 2, we have access to the grace of God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what?
Wrath.
Boy, isn't that not the mercy of God?
Amen.
As the Apostle Paul, he's begging and pleading with the church in Rome, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, by the freedom, you are freed from sin. You have the gift of eternal life. You now have peace with God. You have access to the grace of God, and you are saved from the wrath of the wrath to come.
Amen.
Isn't that enough motivation right there to say, okay, I'm taking a stand. I'm coming out of the world, and now I'm going to serve Jesus Christ for the rest of my life.
Amen.
That's all the motivation that we need.
Yeah.
Amen.
Romans 12 and verse number 2 also says, and be ye not conformed to this word, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. If your mind changes, you know what? So will you.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you do that? Feed it with truth. Mm-hmm. Not with the garbage of this world. Yeah. Feed it with truth from the Word.
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 real quick. Some of us need to, I know I have to. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? Left thy first love.
Right.
Maybe some of us are so stuck in the world because we have what? We left that first love.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And that first love is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Right? Yep. We need to. Verse number 5, it says, remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and what?
Repent.
Just go to God and tell him you're sorry. Mm-hmm. God, I'm in this world, and get me out of it. I need my mind transformed, God. So feed your mind with the truth, from the truth of the word. And when you've fed that, then change it by acting. That's a tough thing to do. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in what? In Jesus. What do we do? That ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be ye renewed in the spirit of what? Of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
We need the renewing of our minds.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6. This is a way that we can renew our minds and transform our minds. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
Are we grabbing on to everything that we can right now? Are we trying to put everything that we have all to the glory of God?
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Just a question. Lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. Put off and put on. Amen. In Colossians, I believe Colossians says that as well. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. I know I have Colossians in here. Colossians 3. I believe it says, it talks about put off and put on in Colossians 3. Yep, and verses 9, 10, 11 in there, but we're not going there. We're going to go to Colossians 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. But too many times I believe that we're just setting all of our affections upon now, upon here.
Yeah.
I mean, it is here and now, but look, it's for the future, for the kingdom of God. What are we doing to try to reach those that are lost? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was what?
Wow.
Had lots of money and willing to buy anything that they want. No, he came in to seek that which is what? Lost. He wanted to have as much people in heaven as he can. Don't you?
Amen.
I want to have everybody that I work with in heaven with me one day.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen. Amen.
I can't go to the store without wondering who's saved and who isn't. I can't drive down the street. This is the way my mind thinks. Is that person saved that drove by? What if they get into a car accident? You know? I often even think if I pull up on a car accident, what's the first thing on my mind? Jesus. Hey, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? I mean, it's in you, isn't it?
Yes.
It isn't something inside you where you got to tell somebody about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there isn't, if you don't have that in there, wake up tomorrow morning before you go out into this world, and I promise if you ask God, God, give me somebody to witness to today.
He will.
He will give you somebody to witness to that day.
Amen.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised. Just take it and be like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You take that opportunity. If it's just a trap, or if it's just saying, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he died for you? You know that he loves you? Just a simple witness. God will give you that opportunity. Romans chapter 8. Let's zoom over there. The renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things that are after the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen.
Man. And verse number 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Are you pleasing God? Or are you in the flesh and then in this world? I hope it's not so. Acts chapter 2. Couple more verses. Acts chapter 2, and I was going the wrong way. I know Acts is this way, and I'm going that way. You ever do that? Acts chapter 2. Renewing of your mind. Transform the renewing of your mind. And they continued steadfast. Did I tell you verse 42?
No.
Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread in what?
In prayers.
So how are we going to be transformed? By getting in God's Word and listen. And getting on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be transformed. Be in this book as much as you can. As much as you can. And be on your knees as much as you can. There's a lot of people here. We all need prayers.
Amen.
Right? And we all need practice. I got that from Rich Overton when I tell him I'm praying for him. He goes, I need it and you need to practice.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Amen.
You need it and I need to practice.
Amen.
I believe also in Acts, the apostles somewhere, I'm going to have to look for it, and for what they were doing, they turned the worlds upside down, did they not? Where is that? Acts chapter something. Acts 17. When they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Are you willing to preach the gospel and turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ? I hope so. Are you being conformed or transformed? A question. Are you going to renew your mind? And with that renewing of your mind, guess what comes with it? You become like Christ. You're in the Word. You're going to become like Christ. Wasn't that God's desires to become like His Son, Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's His desire to be like His Son. Not only to be like His Son, but also to live like His Son.
Amen.
It's one thing to become something, right? It's another thing to start acting like it. You can become a Christian, but guess what? Let's start acting like a Christian,
amen.
Like Christ-like.
Amen.
Christ loved everybody, did He not?
Yeah.
Amen.
John chapter 6, we'll close with this. John 6. And this is Jesus. John 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do what? His own will.
Mm-hmm.
But the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. That all of which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. But should raise up again in the last day. Jesus' life was to do the will of His Father.
Amen.
And it's our job is to do the will of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So are you conformed or transformed? I beseech you, as Paul said, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what?
A living
sacrifice. And be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You and praise You. Lord, I love You so much. I thank You so much for using me. Lord, I do thank You so much for Your precious Word. Lord, without it, I don't know where I would be. Lord, so I pray that we would take Your Word seriously, that we would be willing to share